Welcome to God Talk. Today we have James Gall from Ministry to the Nations in Nashville, Tennessee. And so James, it's really great to have you with us today. We know that you are a very respected prophet in the nation and that God has used you over many years to bring words of destiny over people's lives and over areas, regions, churches, organizations. And so it's wonderful to have you with your expertise with us today.
Hey, it's great to be with you. I'm just excited about this show.
That's great. So first of all, how would you define the prophetic?
Well, how do I define the prophetic? I think the prophetic is supposed to be so outlandish that it's to outdo anything that is out there in the worldly realm, that is with noises and sounds and lights and actions and cameras and the whole bit. What is the prophetic? It is the voice of God amplified to where people, everyday people, can hear the whisper of God.
You've been prophesying for a long time.
Yeah.
For many years.
Several years.
You've been teaching on the prophetic also. In fact, we are going to be featuring today a lot of your items that people can pick up on the website. And you've got all kinds of teachings on how to prophesy, how to mature in the prophetic. And so how did that come about? How did you start teaching on the prophetic? What motivated you to do that?
Well, I remember an encounter that I had. So much of what happens with me is based out of God encounters. And I had a God encounter where I got prayed for. I call this person a South African bulldog. And this man was moving in a raw anointing of God, and I was so hungry. I just wanted more of Jesus. And so I went to this set of meetings, and this man was just moving in the presence of God. And I just was salivating for more of the Lord. And I just was like, in the scriptures, it talks about this man named blind Bartimaeus, and he starts screaming and hollering in the middle of the crowd because Jesus is passing by. And in the middle of this gathering, I just lost my dignified cookies, and I just threw them aside, and I said, over here, right now, come over here. I mean, come over here, right now, this very moment. There's like 2,000 people in the place. Every head starts turning, looking straight at me.
You said that out loud in a big gathering?
Out loud. I was outrageously out loud because I was desperate for more of God. The depth of your hunger is the length of your reach to God.
Whoa.
And I was hungry for God. And I saw something on this man that I wanted. And it was another level of the anointing of God's presence. So I just started crying out and said, over here! And I said, come over here! I said, come over here right now! I had two fellows that were there with me. I just kept going and going and going. This guy was way over here at one side of the auditorium, and I was way over on the other side, back up the seats a little ways. And my friends, I just kept going after it because I wasn't trying to draw attention to myself.
You were desperate.
Was desperate. And my two friends started hunkering down in their chairs. They started getting kind of embarrassed. And here's me, and I just kept going for it. And eventually this man was slow as molasses on a main winter day or something, and he slowly kept walking, and he walked in front of the whole arena there, and then finally walks up my aisle, reaches in, and just barely touches me. And that's all it takes.
And what happened at that moment?
Huh. You really want me to tell?
I want you to tell us.
I went like this, and I went frozen. I could not move for about 20 minutes. Couldn't move. I went tick-tock frozen in position, and I got catapulted, my spirit man catapulted into a place where I was receiving visions and revelations from God. And the Holy Spirit started downloading to me and saying, manuals, books, pamphlets, study guides, videos, tapes, transferable concepts. And was saying this over and over and over and over and over to me. And he commissioned me to begin writing. And at that point, I had never written one single thing.
Wow. Did he speak to you in an audible voice?
This was, in this experience, I was just kind of like raptured. My soul was caught up. The biblical word is trance. The Greek word that is ecstasis, that we get the word ecstasy from, and it means to be caught up into a rapturous place so as to only be able to receive those things which God intends. And in that place then, I was receiving, I call it divine intelligence.
All right.
Divine information, and it was coming in the form of a voice, the voice that I already had heard many times before, but that sweet, incredible voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to me, saying, do you remember what it was like when you first came into the things of the Lord and the things of the Spirit? What happened? He said, there were two things that happened. Number one, God became more real. Number two, the powers of darkness became more real. And the powers of darkness then tried to steal away the things that the power of God were giving. And he said, and so will it be in this extraordinary move of God that will go all over the earth. The power of God is going to flood the earth, just like he came upon me and the Jesus people movement. And he said, but then a second thing will happen. The power of darkness will try to arise and snatch away the things that God had already spoken. So he said, therefore, my people must be grounded in the Word, in the Bible, grounded in church history, and grounded by people who are modern day fathers and mothers in the things of the Holy Spirit, that they have some realm of experience to be able to mentor others and say to them, you know, there's a safe place for you. There is a place. Here's a training realm for you that you too can move in the voice of God and hear Him for yourself.
And it's so important in these latter days that we're able to discern the difference by source, because there's lots of voices in the realm of the Spirit.
Absolutely.
And that's why I love your teaching, because it's very Bible-based. And the Bible is probably the most powerful spiritual book there is.
Absolutely. It is the only
book. It is full of life.
When you read it, it reads you. One of my goals is it's sort of like giving a kite to people. And a kite is something that you throw up and it catches the wind.
Mm-hmm.
But a kite without a string attached to it will just kind of get lost out here in ethereal land. But we are to be spirit flyers, a kite that soars into the heights and catches the wind of God's presence and the gifts of his Spirit and everything. And yet we're to be grounded by having this almost tethering, but it's the Word of God that we're tethered to, that we can judge all spirits to test to see whether they be of God or not.
I love that picture. That's great. Now, you've had a lot of real way out there spiritual encounters. Can you share anything with us at this point?
I remember I have had a few different encounters where through some visionary encounters, through dreams and things of this nature, that I'm taken back in time and I see historical events, or I see people of history past. And a lot of them, for me, tend to end up being biblical characters. Not long ago, during a prayer watch that we were doing, it's called an Israel prayer watch. We're praying over the Middle East. And in this, I just saw rays of white light that were just beaming towards me, and it seemed like almost an invitation to like step into this light. Some of these encounters are interactive kind of in nature. Some are not. Some are symbolic only. Some are actual encounters. Some again are only representational. And it seems that when it's actual, there's more of a tangible presence that is left with you, that comes with this experience. And but this one that I'm recalling right now is where this just beams of the light of God was coming towards me, and yet there was this invitation to step into it and move forward. And I'm looking and I'm watching, and at the end of this, like this tunnel of love, Because that's what it was.
That's what God is.
God is totally love. And in this tunnel of love, I stepped into it. And it was a tunnel of light. God's light. Mm-hmm. And in Him there is no darkness at all. And there was a man standing at the end of this tunnel of light and love. I looked at this. It was very interesting. And it's like I could see into the heart of this man. And I, you know, a little bit of my reason or mind analytically was at work, but there's times in this where like that almost just becomes totally overshadowed in that experience by the encounter of God Himself. And so I was peering into this and I saw the heart. And it was then like I just went whoosh, and I just like dove into the heart of this man. Well, this was I'm going to call it a representation where I saw Paul the Apostle. And I went in and I heard like his heart beating. And I heard words being spoken out of Paul the Apostle's heart. And do you want to know what I heard?
I want to know.
I heard what I believe in part is to be an apostolic heart. It was Paul the Apostle of old. And I heard in his heart, and I heard these words resonating, "My heart's desire is that all Israel would be saved."
Wow.
And I heard that word, and then it just started resonating in my heart now in greater union with God's heart, and I just started sobbing and sobbing and sobbing out of this incredible revelation. Because God's heart is that we all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth.
That is awesome. Wow.
He's awesome.
Yeah, that is just amazing. That we serve a God who will share His heart with us even. Absolutely. God doesn't have to. He's God. He can do whatever He wants. He can be whoever He wants because He's God. And yet He chooses. Not only is He a love God, but He chooses to allow us to feel as He feels, to see as He sees, to share His heart, to share His ways. And that is an amazing invitation for all mankind.
Right.
You know, there's many, there are many different gods, little g's,
yeah,
you know,
that's
the
right.
Objects of worship and spirits that people would worship,
right.
Or, you know, maybe people that have lived once and,
right,
you know, they're gone now, and
right.
But people would still worship them, so we can call those like gods. But there's one true God, and
that's
one God
right.
Above all other gods,
right.
And He's so loving and so kind and so merciful. And it's such a privilege to know that the true and the living God is not a heavy taskmaster.
Right.
He's not one that wants to just, you know, plow people if they, you know, make a mistake or anything like that. But He's a Father, and He's wanting to nurture and provide, and He's so kind. And that anyone who wants to come is welcome to come.
Mm-hmm.
And His arms are stretched out, and He's just saying, come, you know, you're welcome into my heart, you're welcome into my
That's
life,
right.
And yet He won't force us.
That's right.
He gives us our free will and just lets us come,
yeah.
You know, as we desire to. And that's is such a privilege to know a God that is so totally awesome in power, in love, in truth, in purity, and so approachable.
Amen. That's
so
all.
Approachable.
I love He's approachable.
Yeah.
He's approachable.
Yeah.
And He is so inviting. I absolutely love it. You know, I had another encounter just about a year ago at this time. The Holy Spirit had spoken to me, let's say it was in March of 2002. And He said, you got to keep the month of October as clear as possible because there's a surprise that's coming your way. Okay, you just kind of register it. I call it, put it in your file cabinet, you know.
Right.
Oh, okay, you know. Well, little did I know that I was going to be in a place of serious need, because it ended up being in August of 2002. I found a little nodule and found out that quickly this thing was growing, and it grew into a cluster of grapes the size of a man's hand, deeply embedded in my right pelvic, and it ended up being a lymphoma cancer. But in October, the Lord had said, you know, keep your slate clean. Well, obviously, my slate was on a pretty, you know, scaled down side. And a man came to this area of Tennessee And his name was Pastor Surprise. And the Lord had said, in October, there's going to be a surprise that's going to come.
And that was his literal name?
Yeah.
Pastor Surprise?
Pastor Surprise.
That is too fun.
And God sent someone from Mozambique in Portuguese. His name is Surprise, but in English, it's Surprise. And God sent a man across the Atlantic Ocean from Africa, Mozambique. And his name was Pastor Surprise. So special prayer got set up for me, and I got prayed for by Pastor Surprise. And so Pastor Surprise prays for me. And like this heat started moving through my body. Now, I was going through every major test that is available today. And I was having these things done called PET scans where they put radioactive glycerin and it goes through your bloodstream. So I was already getting semi-used to a little bit of a heat trailing through my bloodstream to detect things. But this was intensified at least 100 times more than anything like that. And this heat started going through my blood, just through my blood vessels. And then this heat would stop and would rest over organs of my body. And then it would move on, stop, pause, and this heat would rest. I actually started perspiring, and it started going all through, up and down, circulating through my entire body. And as this was happening, then I got catapulted into another visionary experience. And I see now in an open vision, with my eyes wide open, flames of fire. And a man standing in the fire. And he motioned to me to step into the fire with him. This was a good fire, by the way. The fire of God will not harm you. Fire of God will change you. And so he motioned to me to step into the fire. And I went in, again in an interactive type visionary encounter, and I met the man of fire. This was like in the book of Daniel, where there were these three that were thrown into this fiery furnace, and then the king looks in later and they go, huh, what's this?
There's more than
There's
what he started with.
Fourth man in there, and he looks like the appearance of the Son of Man, the Son of God. Well, I had an I had an experience with the man of fire. And when I went into the fire with him, he started showing me his wounds. Showed me wounds on his head. He showed me a wound in his side. He showed me his back. He turned to me and he said this to me: every wound that I received, I obtained a specific level of healing for my people. And I could see his back all lacerated. And in these cuts and wounds of lacerations of the man of fire, Yeshua, Jesus, I could see names of sicknesses and diseases written in these lacerations. I could see scoliosis. I could see leukemia. I saw all kinds of names of cancer and sicknesses. And he began sharing with me, and he said, with every wound I received, I obtained a specific level of healing for my people. And he took me to every one of these wounds, and he began describing to me a level of healing that he has for us. He took me to his head where he had a crown of thorns. And he said, I obtained healing for every mental disease that man has ever been touched with, so that they could in turn receive the mind of Christ. He took me to his back, and I saw all of these sicknesses, you know, written in there by names. And of course, he shared out of Isaiah and now the Gospels and just spoke, and he said, by these stripes, you're healed. He took me to his feet and saw the nail piercings in his feet. And he said, I took these wounds so that my people would be able to walk out the truth, and that every paralytic could be healed. took me to his hands. It was a very interesting exchange on this. And he said to me, did you know that most diseases known to mankind are transmitted by the touch of the hand?
Really?
That's what he said. It deals with bacteria, viruses, things of this nature. He said, did you know that most diseases are transferred by the touch of the hand? And he said, I took the wounds so that every disease that is transferable could be healed. And I took the wounds so that my people's hands could be set aside, that my healing power could move through them. He also told me, he said, when he looked at the back, he said, I took these wounds, and anyone who ever once walked with me and has turned their back away, that every backslider could be healed and return home to their father. It's an absolutely life-changing encounter where I met the man of fire.
Wow. You can feel the power. That's often true, that once a person has a spiritual encounter, a God encounter, when even when they share it afterwards, which could be years after the encounter, the life and the impact of it just exudes off of them and touches others, because, you know, it's so eternally impacting and empowering.
It just is. I can feel his presence actually right here, right now. I feel it actually kind of rising up on my body right now. And I just say, hey, there's healing right now for some of you that's watching. I feel this presence coming on my actual physical body right now, and it's just a token for some of you, because right now his presence is coming on you right now. And you might know, understand what this is. This is the living God coming to encounter you. He's coming upon you right now. A God encounter. A holy spiritual encounter. Not something too weird. Not something real too unusual, although it is. It's something that is absolutely awesome. Now, let's just call this forth right now. I bless what the Father is doing. May his presence come upon you now, and may he overwhelm you with his love. And I speak the healing grace of the Lord to come upon you now. And specifically, any of you who ever had bad church experiences, I just say, come on. Just step back into the light. Step back into the tunnel of God's great love. Churchianity and Christianity are two different things. Step back into the light and the love of the Father. In Jesus' name, he's right there right now for you.
Talk to us about angels. You've had encounters with angels. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, I've had all kinds of angels show up in different forms, appearances, sizes. Man, when I was in Argentina, and an angel came into my bedroom in the middle of the night. Sometimes I don't even know where I am. So it's like, how in the world does God know where I am? And this angel showed up in the middle of the night, blew a shofar, a ram's horn, in my bedroom. I wake up by this noise, and the angel, the fear of God was in the room. The destiny, the purpose of God was there. I was all lit up. I sit up in the room, and the room is just permeated with the fragrance of God and the terror of the Lord and the awesome presence of God. And the angel speaks to me, and he simply says, seize the moment.
These are awesome.
I was in a city called Kansas City. We were doing this worship time and all this prayer. And at the end of it, we were going from December 31st to January 1st. The clock turns. My eyes opened up. And in that seer dimension, I saw this enormous, large, 30, 50 foot tall angel now standing in this Bartle Hall auditorium. And it was all dressed in armor. It was a warrior angel that had been released for us. And then I looked out And in the seer dimension, my eyes were open for a few moments, and I saw huge amber letters written out in front of me, and it said, acceleration. And I knew that God was sending heavenly reinforcements to us to help us out, because things were going to remain as they were, because the days of acceleration, the days of God's purposes, plans, purposes, and pursuits were just going to be accelerating.
What was the date on that?
That was just January 1st, from December 31st to January 1st, 2003. And we've crossed over a threshold into the days of acceleration.
Because in September of 2003, I was visited by an angel called Swift.
It's the same one, probably.
It was an eagle. It was a golden eagle.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I had Michael Schiffman was at our place doing a thing on angels. And I had a two-day encounter with that thing. And then after I had the visitation, it came into my living room one night, flew into my kitchen, and that's when I got my first initial glimpse of it. Yes. The next night in worship, it came and swept me up, and I could feel acceleration. That's when the Lord said,
right.
Its name is Swift. It had golden pinions, but it was a brown golden eagle. And I had this amazing encounter. All I could do is cry.
That's interesting, because that's probably a California eagle. There's bald eagles, which are white, but there's the gold-headed eagles, brown gold, and those are California, basically, eagles. So it could be, and specifically, there's going to be a swift move of God that's going to be happening on the west coast of the United States, specifically. It's not only that, but it's going to lift people up. Lift them up into a higher place where their vision is going to be clear. He's going to lift people up above the smog, up above the whole demonic arena, to be able to help them soar, to be able to see clearer into the purposes of God.
Cool.
Yeah.
I know that we have them in British Columbia, too. It's one of the places of their natural inhabitation, which is also the West Coast.
That's right.
And after I had that, and I had an incredible revelation of the cross, a deeper revelation of the cross that night, so I know that particular angel moves according to a revelation of the cross. And it was the day after I had all these brown feathers on all around our house, going down into the basement where my office is, and all around the chair, around my desk, as a sign to confirm the angelic presence. It's amazing.
We have a little glass box that we keep on our fireplace mantle, and you open the lid, and inside of it, there's all these feathers.
Ones that you've just picked up because they were signs from...
One time, my wife was getting ready to go to Australia to minister. She had on this black velvet dress, and this beautiful feather just came down, landed right on her. And the Holy Spirit was just saying to her, I am with you on this trip. And we just keep these, and they just show up every now and then. You know, they just show them. They've got little down feathers from heaven. I don't know if they're dove wings or what. But just come down as tokens.
Yeah.
Often telling us, you're at the right place.
Right.
At the right time.
Right. Yeah, it's the Lord's covering love.
It is.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's great.